Hi everyone. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a brand new story to share with you. So let's begin. When my wife graduated after studying medicine, I was proud. I'd been with her through late-night study sessions, the stress of board exams, and the grind of residency interviews. I helped cover rent, bought groceries, and held her hand through every breakdown. I didn't complain because I believed in us. But when she finally reached the point where she was earning more than I, something I thought we'd celebrate, she blindsided me. She filed for divorce. I said nothing and signed them. But 10 years later, she came back, and I gave her a taste of her medicine. My name's Jerry. Back in my early 20s, while most people around me were trying to land office jobs or still figuring things out, I was already running my own small computer hardware store. It was a few shelves of components and a constant hustle to keep up with demand. The business had its ups and downs, especially since tech prices could swing overnight, and some items barely gave me any profit. But I knew the game and played it smart. The money I made mattered to me because I didn't come from wealth. So every bit of progress felt earned. I wouldn't call myself a businessman in the traditional sense, but I had drive. I understood that if I wanted stability, I had to create it for myself. I first met Megan when she was a student, still working through her undergrad, but already obsessed with the idea of becoming a doctor. It was something she'd dreamed about since she was a little girl, and when she talked about it, you could tell she was passionate. At the time, I had already been on my feet for a while. The income from my small business wasn't always predictable, but it kept me comfortable. Megan and I started spending more time together. Our conversations were never surface level. She'd talk for hours about everything, including her doctor thing. I could see how badly she wanted this, and I respected it. There was something inspiring about watching someone chase a dream with that kind of intensity. I saw her as someone worth betting on. As the relationship grew, so did my involvement in her life. I saw how much pressure she was under, not just academically, but financially too. I knew she had access to student loans, but I also knew what those debts could do to someone long-term. So I stepped in. I told her I'd help cover what I could. I took on as much of it as possible, because I wanted to lighten the load. In my mind, I figured if I could help her build her dream now, we'd build ours together later. I rationalized it as an investment. And, at the time, it felt like the safest bet I could make. She was dedicated, disciplined, and focused. She was all in, and so was I. I showed up for her consistently, whether it was late-night pep talks before an exam, surprise dinners when she was too stressed to cook, or quietly covering an overdue bill so she wouldn't have to worry. I was her stability, her fallback, the one person she never had to question, and I took pride in that. I truly believed that was what love looked like. But back then, I didn't realize that sometimes, the more you give, the more some people feel entitled to keep taking. When Megan got her acceptance letter into medical school, it felt like the whole world paused for a moment. It was like she'd just won the lottery. And, in a way, she had. But to me, it wasn't just her win, it was ours. All the late-night studying, the emotional support, the sacrifices we'd both made up to that point, it finally felt like it was going to be worth it. We were so proud, so full of hope, that we decided to get married soon after. It was a quiet ceremony with a few close friends and family. There was no grand venue, no expensive cake, just a simple day that marked what we thought was the start of forever. But once she started school, everything changed. Medical school is no joke. I knew that going in, but living through it was something else entirely. Her days were jam-packed with lectures, rotations, and late-night study groups. She'd leave before the sun came up and come home when I was already in bed, sometimes even crashing at a friend's place to save time. The little time we did spend together felt empty. She was there, but her mind wasn't. She was always tired, emotionally distant, and barely had the energy to talk. I saw it as just a phase that's temporary, and she'd bounce back. In the meantime, our expenses were climbing. Her tuition, books, scrubs, exam fees, everything cost more than either of us expected. And because I had already promised her I'd support us as much as I could, I tried not to let the pressure show. My business was already unpredictable, but I pushed myself harder. I took on more clients, stayed up late managing orders, tried new suppliers, anything to stretch our budget. There were times I had to quietly delay paying my own bills just to make sure she had what she needed. I didn't want her distracted by money stress. I figured, I'm the one who said I'd do this, so do it. And I genuinely believed we'd look back on those years one day, laugh about how hard it was, and feel proud that we pulled through. So I stayed patient and loyal. I figured that once she graduated, things would finally settle and she'd have time again to reconnect. I believed our sacrifices would pay off. But I was wrong about a lot of things. As Megan's graduation drew closer, I found myself thinking more and more about what came next for us in terms of starting a family. So I started bringing it up. I would ask things like, once you're done with residency, we should think about kids, or have you thought about when we might want to start trying? But every time, Megan would either nod absently or change the subject. She didn't outright shut me down, but she also didn't engage. She could talk for hours about her career goals, her plans for specialization, or the new doctor at her clinic who had just bought a car. But when it came to our future, there was this flatness in her tone. Still, I didn't push. I wanted to believe that once she had that white coat officially in hand, she'd finally come around, that we'd get back to dreaming together. But what I didn't realize then was that I was giving space to someone who was already inching toward the door. Megan's graduation day soon arrived. I was genuinely proud. I'd seen the work she put in, the sleepless nights, the pressure, and all the sacrifices. I stood in that crowd next to her parents, clapping louder than anyone else, holding up my phone to take pictures, making sure I didn't miss a second. That day, I thought we made it. I believed this was the beginning of the life we'd been building toward for years. But less than a month into her residency, things took a sharp turn. One evening, she handed me a manila envelope. I thought maybe it was paperwork for her job or something she wanted me to review. But it wasn't. It was divorce papers. At first, I thought there had been some kind of mistake. But no, she was serious. I asked her why, and all she said was, "I've changed, we're on different paths now." I was speechless. After everything, that's all she gave me. I couldn't even process what was happening. I didn't eat properly for days. I kept going over everything in my head, what I could have missed, what I could have done differently. But deep down, I knew this was a decision she'd made a while ago. I was just the last to find out. It took me a few days to find the strength to go talk to a lawyer. I told him everything. I wanted to fight for at least some of what I'd poured into her life. But my lawyer was blunt. Unless there's a written agreement stating that the money you gave was meant as an investment or a loan, it'll be hard to get much. Still, I couldn't let it go just like that. We took it to court anyway. The judge acknowledged what I had sacrificed. He even made a few comments during the hearing that suggested he sympathized. But the law is the law. And in the end, I was awarded a small compensation, just a fraction of what I'd spent over those years. It didn't even scratch the surface. I walked out of that courtroom feeling hollow because the person I had poured my love, time, and future into had walked away like none of it ever mattered. After the divorce, I felt like I had nothing left. I had spent so much of myself that when it all collapsed, I didn't even recognize who I was anymore. I had to rebuild not just my finances, but my sense of self. I started focusing inward. I poured myself back into my work, not out of ambition, but out of necessity. I needed something to anchor me. I kept my circle small. I wasn't interested in advice or sympathy. I just wanted to climb out of the hole I'd found myself in. And with time, I did. The business picked up again. I got back on my feet. But emotionally, something in me had changed for good. I made a quiet promise to myself. Never again would I sign away my life under the illusion of love. I decided I could be with someone, yes, but not legally marry or commit fully. I now saw marriage differently. It felt less like a symbol of commitment and more like a trap, one that could turn against you the moment things shifted. I was cautious. From that moment on, whenever I dated, I made it clear from the start, no legal marriage, no matter how good things felt. A lot of women weren't okay with that. Some thought I was just scared or selfish. Others tried to change my mind. But eventually, I met someone who didn't see it as a red flag. She had been through her own storms, carried her own pain, and wasn't interested in legal contracts either. We lived together, planned our days together, and shared the small joys. She only asked for honesty, and I gave it. In return, she gave me peace that helped me heal. One quiet evening, I got a message from Megan on Facebook. 10 years had passed since the divorce. I stared at the notification for a while before opening it. It was a simple, "Hey, how have you been?" Like we were old friends who lost touch. I read through it slowly, then responded. She started with harmless small talk, asking how life had been, if I were still in the computer hardware business, telling me she saw something online that reminded her of me. I could already tell where it was going. People don't reach out like that unless they're circling back for something. Then she shifted, said she'd been doing a lot of thinking, and that she missed what we had. That, despite everything, she still believed we had something real. She called me the most stable man she had ever been with, and said she admired how I always stood by her through med school. She said it like she was offering a compliment. I had no idea what to say to all these, but I asked her what she wanted from me. Then she said something that made me laugh. She said, "I always thought you didn't get married again, because deep down, you were waiting for me." That right there told me everything I needed to know. After all these years, her view of the world still had her at the center of it. She thought I'd been stuck in time, frozen like some tragic figure who never moved on. She didn't even consider the possibility that I might have healed, grown, and built something better without her. I kept my reply short. Just said, "You assumed wrong." Later, I heard through my findings how things had played out for her. Turns out, after our divorce, she started chasing a very different kind of life. She dated flashy men, the well-off, successful types, guys who had no problem taking her out, spending money, and sleeping with her. But none of them saw her as a long-term partner. They were fine with casual, not with commitment. That pattern went on for years. Eventually, she married again, this time to a man who made far less than she did. From what I was told, he cheated on her regularly, mostly with younger women. When it all blew up, she was the one paying him alimony because, by then, she was earning solid money as a doctor. The same woman who walked away from me, saying we were on different paths, ended up financially supporting a man who betrayed her at every turn. I didn't feel pity, either. If anything, it just confirmed what I already knew. Life has a way of serving the truth back to people when they least expect it. And when it does, it doesn't need anyone's help. I didn't shut the door on Megan the moment she reached out, even though I could. I had every reason to. But instead, I let her speak and apologize. I didn't make it easy, but I didn't block her either. She was trying to sound casual, but couldn't quite hide the urgency. And the more she kept reaching out, the clearer it became. She seems to have a fear of being alone. Fear that she'd thrown away the only man who ever truly showed up for her. And now, with time running out, she was trying to claw her way back. She didn't say it outright, but I caught her slipping in little comments like, "I don't want to do life alone." It's scary thinking about retirement and not having someone there. You were always the steady one. She wasn't coming back because she missed me. She missed the safety, the stability, the version of me that would have bent over backward for her. So I made a decision. I didn't forgive or forget, but I decided to mirror her. I played her game, the one she played with me during our marriage. I let her chase. I gave her just enough attention to keep her hoping. A few dry replies here and there. A half-hearted, "Maybe we could talk soon." I knew what I was doing, and deep down, I knew she knew too. But she stayed hooked. For months, I let her try to win back something I'd already buried. She'd ask if I was still with someone. I'd say, "It's complicated." It wasn't. I was in a solid relationship with a woman who respected me. But I let Megan believe there was a crack in the door. I let her believe she could squeeze back in. And every day she waited for a different version of me to show up, I gave her the same cold distance I once felt every night while she buried herself in her career. Then one morning, after about a month of playing with her emotions, I woke up and decided to crush her feelings. I sent her a message and told her that our divorce wasn't the end of something good. It was the start of something necessary. Losing her forced me to face myself, to rebuild, to grow. I told her I found peace and that I had no interest in reopening doors that life had already shut for good. She lashed out almost immediately. First, it was guilt-tripping. She sent a long message filled with passive-aggressive lines like, I can't believe you'd do this after everything we had. And so you were just playing with me this whole time? Then came the accusations that I used her, that I led her on, and that I was no better than the men who had hurt her after me. The irony wasn't lost on me. 10 years ago, she walked away from me like I was disposable. Now the very fact that I had moved on was somehow a betrayal of her. At first, I ignored it. I thought if I didn't feed into it, she'd get tired and stop. But it only escalated. She started messaging me at all hours, tagging me in posts, sending messages to mutual friends, trying to get their sympathy. She even sent a message to my partner, subtly hinting that I had been talking to her behind her back. That was when I knew this wasn't just emotional confusion anymore. It was harassment. I did what she probably never expected. I lawyered up. I had my attorney draft and send her a cease and desist letter, formally warning her to stop the behavior or face legal consequences. Then, I blocked her on every platform. I didn't owe her an audience. When I finally shut the door completely, I sat down and really thought about what had just happened. I hadn't expected her to come back after all this time. But once she did, and I saw how she tried to walk right back into my life like nothing happened, part of me felt like letting her chase shadows for a while. This time, she was the one left looking in from the outside. Now, I spend my time with someone who respects my boundaries and doesn't make love feel like a gamble. Megan's chapter is closed. Permanently.